Now it's my turn. This past Wednesday marked 6 years. And yes, this is personal. And yes, this is my moment. Not just mine. This past Wednesday marks 6 years ago that I got fired from a job at Frederick County. I'm not going to go into the long, gory details. Everybody here knows them. And got crushed down to a point that I never thought I'd come back from. 6 years ago. And after several days of wallowing in misery, trying to figure out what was going on this day, I was the worship leader at Harmony Church of the Brother. And when I went home that afternoon, every word, every sermon, everything said, told me God was talking to me. I don't particularly like how he chose to get my attention. It's not my choice. On Monday, I made a phone call that started me on a journey to this spot. 6 years ago this past week. I finally have heard, after 6 years, some backstory. We were talking about it at prayer meeting Wednesday night, which I wish more of you would come to. And in the weeks to come, in the months to come, I'm going to start guilting you into coming to prayer meeting. No, it's coming. But we talked about it, amongst other things. And I heard two stories that I had never heard until that night. One of them was when I first talked to Linda, after I called. The short version is this. After that Sunday, on Monday, I called Don Booz. And Don Booz was our district executive. And Don Booz said, I said, Don, this is what's happened. I gave him the whole story, how I got fired and everything. For 3 years, that man had been trying to get me to preach. And I said, no, I don't want to be a Christian. They don't have any fun. That's what I said. I said, Don, here's what I did. Here's what I'll do. I'll fill in a pulpit anywhere you need me to. He goes, I'll call you right back. Click, hung the phone up. No goodbye, no nothing. I'll call you right back. An hour later, the phone calls back. It's him. He goes, This lady named Linda Strait's going to call you. You need to talk to her. Okay, for what? He goes, Long Meadow Church of the Brother up there in Hagerstown. I ain't too far from you. I want you to go up there and take over. I said, Don, that's not quite how it works. You know, there's things. He goes, do you know how to preach? I said, I've got a fair good idea. He goes, you know how to run a church? I said, I've been around it once or twice. He goes, just go up there and get to work. We'll figure out everything else later. If they like you. Okay, phone rings, it's Linda. 2 hours later, we're going to come and meet. I learned that after that phone call, and I didn't hear this till Wednesday night, that Linda broke down in prayer and cried out that prayers had been answered. There's a long story behind that. You get with her, she'll tell you. But the prayer had been answered that somebody was coming. My hanging up the phone was, okay, you've got my attention. I'm not fighting with you anymore. And then on, I think it was Thursday night, after that conversation, I'm to come and meet all these people. You were there. Linda was there. Peggy was there. Glenn was there. Bud was there. I had never seen any of these faces before. Take a good hard look at me. I have shaved my beard. Was it this week I did that or was it last week? Whatever it was. But I had a beard. Because I am bound and determined to have a brother and beard. Put on my best suit. Going to go meet people that have never seen me before. Back here in that there classroom. I come bursting through the door. And I saw a look. Look, she can't even stop. When I come through the door, 5 people in the room went like this. I was there for business. When they saw me, I just heard this one here not too long ago. Linda thought to herself, they are never going to go for him. We spent an hour talking. I remember that the minute the conversation was over, Glenn jumped from his seat, and these words, let me show you around. And he brought me all around, and he brought me back to the office back here, and he goes, let me show you where your office will be. What? 6 years ago. It has been bumpy at times. I don't care. I can handle it. I've got big shoulders. But what I cannot handle is not being here on Sunday morning. It has become a part of our lives and a blessing that will not stop. And that's to you all that have been a part of it since I stepped through that door. I pray it continues on for as long as he'll have me, you'll have me, even though someone in the corner reminds me every year they've got to decide whether they want to keep me or not. But it's a blessing, and it's a joy, and it's on my heart all the time. Thank you. Thank you. If there are none others, let us join our hearts together. And if you have that unspoken request, just a hand up and down as we come before the Lord. Thank you, Father. We have heard a lot today, and so we're going to go through a lot today. We start with the blessings to those who do not speak. By hand or by paper, they simply lay it out there, Father, to be heard between you and them. And in those quiet moments, those are the greatest of times. Allowing the Holy Spirit just to fill you up and go on from there, Father. Bless them. I want to start right out of the gate with Pam. We have a lot that we went through today, a lot of people needing prayer, but we're going to go right out of the gate and name Pam. Father, we ask first that you be with her through this whole time, that you quiet her spirit, that you take her through this, that you lift her up, that you guide the doctors and nurses, that you walk with the family. And on the other end of this, it will be to your glory, Father, that she will be healed and will be made well again and strengthened and go on about. Oh, what a glorious beauty it is to know that even in these moments, one of the hopes is your creation can heal itself. Thank you, Father. Be with Pam for traveling mercies for the family, for all of it. Lift them up. We are countless times laid before you, Father, with our desires and our pain, that you would take them away. You heard a great run of them. There's so many. Father, amongst each and every individual open today, that moment that you can speak to a spirit and let them know that things are going to be all right. And to those who are lost, Father, I heard one of the prayer requests for someone who does not know the Lord. Oh my goodness, how that hurts. I pray that this is you talking to them as you have done to so many others that changed them back from what they were to who they should be for your glory. And that Jesus would be known by them. And we do know him. And it ain't a brethren thing or a Baptist thing or any other thing. It's a Jesus died on the cross. I believe in him. I am saved. Amen thing. That's what needs to be in front of us as we go forth from here, Father. We pray for those that are still suffering with the afflictions of this body. We know that our time here is short, but the pain sometimes is still great. And whatever to whatever end you're using that for, Father, would you please be there always. To those we are missing today, let them find their way back in the fullness of spirit. And to the moment that we will leave here to go down to Love Feast. Father, I pray you weigh on each and every heart in this room to join us. To experience what it was like in an upper room in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago, where a man named Jesus saw to it that his brothers, his that he loved, were fed and then washed their feet to teach them the wholeness of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful we are for that Spirit that leads us to talk openly, always. And yes, Father, I am totally praying that you would shake this country to its very core and remind them that this land, this country, was a blessing given by you to honor your Son, Jesus Christ. That was the freedom of religion we were given, to worship Jesus Christ and worship Him only. How soon we have gone off the rails when we have forgotten under God. Be with those, Father, who have lost and are experiencing it. Be with those who serve and protect us, Father. Keep us ever close to you as we pray. Let us not forget the blessings that rain down on us at all times. That in the midst of crisis, when the blessing rises up, let us praise for it. Perhaps the simplest blessing is, me and the dogs are okay. That's good for the heart. Let us pray the way Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, and the power forever. Amen. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew. I've been telling, I have to take a class. Another one of these classes to teach me how to become a preacher, which makes me laugh. And it's, I'm not being fair. There's actually good information in there. And they really do serve a purpose. And the class I'm taking is the introduction to the New Testament. And one of the things that we have to do in 5 sessions is I have to read the entire New Testament front to back nonstop. That is a chore. It's not a chore that I don't want to do it, finding time when it's quiet. So the teacher says you can listen to it on tape. Well, that's been a good thing. And I have been listening to it nonstop. And I was laughing because in all the years that I've read it, and I've read the New Testament in breaking pieces here and there and have fit it all together, I encourage you to get into the book of Acts and read it. And I'll tell you why. Luke, the writer of Acts, was a smart aleck. And there's a lot of humor in Acts if you know where to look and listen. But more so, Paul, when talking about his conversion, Paul was having a good time being who he was and was making fun of a lot of those who thought they were the king of this world. And I've listened to Matthew, and I've found Matthew to be very instructive, more so than I ever knew. And so in Matthew 22, we hear old words, verse 34, that are new words. Verse 34, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." May God add His blessing to that. Would you please join with me in prayer? Father, open our hearts and our minds. Prepare us for this message. Let us know that you walk among us in the Holy Spirit right now, that we may be better enabled to use this in our daily walk. Add it to that which is yet to come, the service of the Love Feast, Father, that we may find ourselves filled to overflowing. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Stone, hard, long-standing, goes through the test of time. You saw the one I brought in the other day. Stone. It fascinates me to this day that there are people that work with stone and have to cut it a certain way. These are things you pick up out of the ground and suddenly they have worth. When I was a boy, one of the biggest things that I had to do as punishment when I got in trouble was to go out into the field and pick up rocks. It ain't funny. I had to take a loader tractor and go out in the field. And I had to fill the bucket of that tractor with rocks the size of my fist. Needless to say, I spent a lot of time in that field with that tractor. Now, one time in school, when I was in high school, I got into a discussion with an older feller at school who decided he was going to make fun of my work shoes, that I couldn't afford sneakers. And when the discussion was over, that fella saw things from a different perspective, but only from one eye. But he started it, and I got in trouble for it. And I was mad because I thought I was defending myself. And so when I got home, my father had already called my grandfather and said, "That boy's coming home. He's going to be off from school tomorrow because he got in a fight. You got to do something with him." Well, my grandfather knew. Out the field I went to pick up rocks. Rocks! Stones! No bigger than your fist. Well, I was mad. I didn't think it was fair. So I got out in the field and I started putting them in the bucket and I waited until I thought nobody was paying any attention to me. That field was a mile from the farm, down over the vale. Now in that field, up on the one side of the corner in the woods, was an old stone wall fence. Well, I just eased that tractor on up there and filled that bucket with rocks this big. It took 10 minutes. And then walked through the field and layered them over with little rocks. And then I parked it over where I thought I was out of sight, leaned up against the tire and took a nap. I got done about the right time. I rolled past the dairy late in the afternoon. Stopped in to tell my pap that I'd had a load of rocks. We had a road in the back farm that we were filling in. It washed out. And I was to go back there and dump them. He come out and took his milking apron off and he said, "Hey, I'm going to ride back with you and help you dump them." Well, no, you don't. I know where they need to go. No, that's okay. No, come on. We haven't spent any time together. And I want to hear about your fight at school. Yeah, but Pat, you know, I'll come back and tell you about it when we're cleaning calves up. Now, come on, let's go. Oh, man. We went back there, and we turned that corner where that gully was, and he raised that bucket and dumped them rocks. And he looked over at me sitting on the fender, and I looked at him, and I said, "That fight was not my fault." How in the world did he know? Because at 15 years old, I'm not that smart. The field that he always had me pick up rocks in, all you had to do was walk up to the window in the dairy and you could look straight at that field. So he could keep an eye on me the whole time. He saw me do the whole thing. Then we went back down and picked up another load. And those rocks, every time I drive that back field, are still there. And I still remember. Long-standing, long-lasting. People wrote on stones. There is a park up in Alberta, Canada. It's called the Writing on a Stone Provincial Park, and it's about 200 miles or so southeast of Alberta, Canada, on the Milk River. It is the largest area of protected prairie in the Alberta park system. More importantly, it is the largest number of rock drawings, writings, and printings in the Western Hemisphere. It's huge. I'd never heard about it. It contains the greatest concentration of rock art on the North American Great Plains, even into the Western Hemisphere. There are over 50 petroglyph sites and thousands of works. There is evidence that the Milk River was inhabited by these people as long as 9,000 years ago. And some of these chisels date to that. They date so far back that they show without horses. That's a long time ago. And the rocks tell a story. The drawings tell a story. Native tribes such as the Blackfoot created a lot of these rock carvings. Another group, such as the Shoshone, may have come through there, and they tell of the lives and journeys of these people as they stopped and lived there for a while. And people flocked to this place. I've never heard of it. To go and experience the spirituality of it. It even says that in 1730, you start to see the appearance of horses and metal goods as they have carried it through time. All of this written in stone. Long lasting, long standing. To talk about a change of native lifestyle, a change of what's going on around them that tells a story so that it will not be forgotten. It has been going on up in that area, I guess until paper got real popular, for 9,000 years. Writing in stone. I can't even imagine that. I can't even begin to fathom that. But then you start to think what that means. In 1999, in Olmec, it was written down in Mexico, was a tablet discovered that was 2,900 years old with the beginnings of an alphabet on it. Pictures and a letter. Written in stone. Now look, I know that there's a lot of people out there of science that will say they had nothing else to write on. And I have nothing against science. I have a great fascination with it. But too often science is cold and forgets the real reason. It just simply says, well, these various groups of people didn't understand that there was lambskin or papyrus, or they couldn't write on stuff and they didn't have the ink. And so they turned to their medium, which was stone, and they drew upon the stone and they carved in the stone. You're missing the point. You're missing the point of something that has been written in stone. Hear these words from Exodus 32, the 15th verse. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets, written in stone. Stone is hard and long standing. Stone puts up with a lot of stuff. What is one of our favorite expressions? Solid as a rock. My wife uses that expression all the time. Solid as a rock when she refers to me. And I used to think that was the greatest compliment in the world. I'm a pretty good old boy. I'm pretty strong. She said, oh, my husband is solid as a rock. And then one time, and I'm hard of hearing, so I can't hear that well. But one time I happened to be really listening when she said that. And she followed it up with, by, he is solid as a rock in his head. We use that expression. They are missing the point when they say it's just simply something that was written there because of. We sculpt in rock. We sculpt in stone. To carve in that stuff requires one thing. Dedication. The sculpture of David, created by Michelangelo, 3 years. 3 years. 3 years from sun up to sundown, every day, 3 years to create that sculpture. We owned a piece of property for a little while before we moved back onto the home place, where a man who had been a hobo back in the 30s, and some of you know who he was, that his name was Frank Feather, hoboed on our property and carved in the rocks overlooking the creek behind the house. Beautiful carvings, stars and a moon and a nightscape. Dedication. is what it takes. And what does dedication mean when it was written in stone? Again, I say, we have lost the word meaning. They wrote in stone because it was that important. It was that necessary. It was that meaningful. No, they didn't have anything else, but they wrote it in stone. God gave Moses those two tablets in stone because why? They were never, ever to fade. Ever. For an experiment, I broke out a set of chisels and my little tapping hammer. I was going to try to write something in stone and bring it in here. Guess what I found out? I am not a stone cutter. Because I tink, 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 crack, and I broke the rock. Tink, 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 crack. And that was the end of that because I could feel my temper getting up. And I knew once my temper got up, all the rocks would be broken. It was that important. It was that powerful that these words be written down in stone for all times, never to be washed away, always being there, be it 9,000, 10,000, 20 years ago. Powerful. Back to Matthew 22. What is written in stone? Love. We all know the Ten Commandments. Quite frankly, this is me personally, I think anybody that steps to a government institution and demands that those Ten Commandments be removed ought to be loaded into a gigantic slingshot and shot over to another country. And I'll say that one out loud, and I ain't scared of who thinks what. They're written in stone for a reason. To remind us. Love God. Love one another. Don't kill. Don't cheat. Don't raise up false idols. Honor your mother and your father. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's what these are about. I have a problem with the coveting one. Every time one of my buddies gets a new tractor, that commandment gets broken in a hurry. Look at my new tractor, Paul. It ain't that much. But those were written in stone, and the first two were love God and love each other. They were pounded down. They were written in stone. Why do we say love? I'll tell you why. Paul wrote it in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just a few little short verses. He wrote these words down to explain how important love is. Paul said, "And if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but not have love, I am nothing." Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It records no record of wrongs. Love does not rejoice in evil, but delights in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Verse 8, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. And
Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known, verse 13. And with these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. That's why it was written in stone. That's why it was written at the top of the list. That's who we are, brothers and sisters. We are love. Not like. Love.
There's a lot of people I don't like, but I love them. Do anything in the world for them, don't mean I always like them. There are times I'm pretty sure my wife don't like me very much, but she still has to love me. It's written in stone for a reason. That's what true love is. The Greek word agape, love, seems to have been virtually a Christian invention, a new word for a new thing, apart from the 20 or so occurrences in the Greek version of the Old Testament. It is almost non-existent before the New Testament. Agape draws its meaning directly from, listen, the revelation of God in Christ. It is not a form of natural affection, however, intense, but supernatural fruit of the Spirit. It is a matter of will rather than feeling. For Christians must love even those they dislike. It is the basic element of Christ's likeness. And guess what? It's written where? In stone. See, here's where I get wound up. When they say, well, all they had was stone. All they had at that time, the medium was stone. God wrote it. Do you think if God, I'm telling you right now, if Moses, when he was up on that mountain, if God wanted him to have a computer in front of him, he'd snapped his fingers and it would spit out of the printer. But he wanted it for all time. He wanted it written in stone. He wanted it so that we would look at it and we would not forget. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Love your neighbor as you would love yourself. And today we resurrect and repeat and do in remembrance the love feast. Because it is written, we do it. Written in stone. We have come to a time, we have come to that time to remember. In just a few minutes, we will assemble downstairs and repeat what was written in stone. Love each other and show it and mean it and will yourself to it. It was there to lead us, to remind us, to love us, to guide us. Written in stone was the simple words of love, of God's love to His creation, of God's desire that you would know love, of God's everything and all being. And how did He finally encompass the words written in stone? How did He do it? What was His final proof that He would show love? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever should believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Written in stone. Let us pray. Father, as we prepare to go away from here today, as we prepare to step on to what's next, as we get ready for Love Feast, remind us of what is written in stone. Remind us of who You are and what You do. Remind us, Father, the Ten Commandments laid down on two tablets. They're not just symbols. They're not just something that can be drug off the side of a building. Those imprinted words remain, written on stone, written on the heart. Bless us, Father, as we work to pay attention to that and listen to what it said and remember what love truly means. In Jesus' name, I give ourselves over to you again. And all of his children said, Amen. In a moment, we will break away and head downstairs. But if you have that particular need, as every Sunday morning, the bench is open, the prayers are there, the Spirit is full. As we sing this last hymn,
please stand and turn to page 324.